moving into our first case study to learn a little bit more about what Philadelphia is doing in their climate adaptation planning. So our speakers today are Alex Dews and Scott Schwartz. Alex Dews is a policy and program manager for the City of Philadelphia's Mayor's Office of Sustainability. Alex focuses on project implementation and progress tracking for GreenWorks Philadelphia, City's comprehensive sustainability framework. In addition, he manages the city's energy benchmarking and disclosure program, green building program, and co-chairs the city's climate adaptation planning work group. Alex is a lead AP, is lead AP certified and holds a master's degree in sustainable design from Philadelphia University, where he is an adjunct professor in the School of Architecture. Scott Schwartz is a divisional deputy city solicitor for the Philadelphia Law Department and also serves as general counsel for the Philadelphia Water Department. Over the past 4 years, he has routinely represented the city in court cases and administrative proceedings involving energy, the environment, sustainability, and transportation. Prior to 2009, he spent over 20 years working in the Environmental Law Division of law firms in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., and gained government experience working for the State of Alabama's Office of the Attorney General and the U.S. EPA. He holds a JD degree from George Washington University and a Bachelor of Science degree in biology from Bucknell. He currently co-chairs the City of Philadelphia's Climate Adaptation Working Group with Alex. So I'll turn it over to Alex and Scott.
Great. Thanks so much. We're really excited to participate today and really interesting presentation so far. I want to thank especially Anne for some of the support that she's provided to us in our planning to date. It's been really helpful, and I think that we're constantly looking to draw on examples, not just of what other cities are doing, but what's really the best thinking on this work that's happening all over the country and internationally. And it's really good to have an opportunity like this to share that information. So we're going to just give a quick overview of how we're approaching this at a local level in Philadelphia, and start by giving you a little bit of the context of what's going on overall in Philly right now. GreenWorks Philadelphia is our comprehensive sustainability plan that was launched in 2009, and that's kind of the centerpiece of a lot of our climate mitigation and adaptation work. The plan focuses on sustainability through the lens of five broad areas: energy, environment, equity, economy, and engagement. And most of what's in the plan is focused in some way on climate mitigation, greenhouse gas mitigation, and it was not really written as an adaptation plan, though there are some elements of it that we found later on are fitting into both the mitigation and adaptation buckets. But just a couple of examples, we're working to reduce energy both in city government and citywide. We're working to increase the amount of material being recycled in the city, and we're working to reduce vehicle miles traveled. And to date, we've have 167 initiatives in the plan. 89% of those are either complete or underway. Some of the other efforts that are happening in Philadelphia, we've revised our zoning code for the first time in 60 years and our comprehensive plan for the first time in 50 years. And so it's a really good opportunity to integrate GreenWorks, which is a short-term plan ending in 2015, with some of those longer-term planning efforts. Green 2015 is a plan to add 500 acres of new open space, and Green City Clean Waters is something we'll talk a little bit more about going ahead. It's our water department's really innovative plan to change the way they manage stormwater and to use green infrastructure to manage that. So Philadelphia, like much of the country, has seen some pretty extreme weather over the last few years. So fortunately for us in our work with climate adaptation planning, we are not in a place where we have to make a case for this. We've seen all of these extremes just in the last 3 years. And so while we don't have a huge amount of certainty about long-term projections, we know enough right now to begin a lot of the work that we're doing with adaptation planning and to start implementing some of the things that we know we need to do to be more resilient, particularly from an infrastructure perspective. So in addition to reporting regularly on the work that's in our GreenWorks sustainability plan, we do an annual report on every single initiative that's in that plan. We've started to participate for the last 3 years now in the Carbon Disclosure Project, among several other national and international reporting programs. And this is really helpful on the uncertainty side from the perspective that we share a lot of the same issues with cities in this country and globally, and not knowing what to do about them is really the bigger problem than not knowing exactly what the impacts will be. And Carbon Disclosure Project in particular does a nice job of indexing a lot of the adaptation measures that are happening around the world. So our participation in that has been really valuable for us, and that's something that we plan to continue to do.
And this is Scott, and I wanted to use this next slide to just talk about our climate adaptation planning process. The bottom of this slide shows a timeline of what we've done so far, and it really began in the fall of 2011 when I worked with a group of graduate students from Columbia University on looking at what other cities were doing on climate adaptation. When I started with the students, I didn't think we were doing any adaptation work. So one thing we did was have the students look at our existing programs, and somewhat to my surprise, a lot of our programs really had an adaptation benefit, even though they weren't specifically designed for that. The students also gave us a look at what other cities, how other cities were gathering and using climate data. They outlined some very more expensive programs, such as developing city-specific climate models. We didn't have the funding for that and opted instead to look at regional reports and city-specific data. We next went into our annual update to our sustainability plan and committed to issuing a climate plan sometime this year. That was followed really by Alex and I looking at a lot of city-specific data. We use the Pennsylvania Climatologist webpage, which has daily data for our two airports. We use the daily data from the Franklin Institute, and we also use the NOAA tidal data, which is available at several points in the city on a daily basis. And the last thing we did was convene our working group of various departments. We've had several meetings, and right now we're in the more advanced stage of moving ahead with our interdepartmental group. One thing we did with our department was an initial survey. It was interesting to me, after spending 6 months looking at climate data, to see what was really relevant to our departments. And the results vary depending on departments, but really all the departments were concerned about extreme heat events and heavy downpours, and only some were concerned about sea level rise and drought. This just shows you some of the data we looked at. And initially what we tried to do was look at U.S. reports for the country, regional reports for our region, and then Philadelphia-specific data. And so here I've kind of quoted a recent EPA report on temperature. And we pretty much saw this in Philadelphia. We had seen a lot of reports that predicted that we'd have, on average, about 40, 90-degree days by mid-century. And when we actually looked at the data for the last 10 years, we saw we were already there. Although the results vary depending on where in the city the heat measurements were being taken. This next slide is an example of one of the regional reports we looked at, which predicted heavy downpours, especially in the Northeast, as increasing. And this is very consistent with what our water department was finding. They've been measuring water levels since around the Civil War in Philadelphia, so we have 150 years of internal data that was consistent with this regional report. Sea level rise also, although a less concern, was fairly well documented, and this is of particular interest to our water department because our wastewater treatment plants are all on the tidal portions of the Delaware River. They were constructed towards the beginning of this chart around 1910 to 1920, so we've already seen a 1 foot rise in the Delaware River, which is the tidal river, at our critical infrastructures since they were designed and built. Turn it back over to Alex to talk a little bit about some of our programs and how we've used the information.
Yeah, so the main place where we're working right now, already implementing some of our adaptation measures, are in that Green City Clean Waters plan, and a number of different ways that's happening. First of all, on public property, here's an example of a street in South Philadelphia that's fairly typical in Philadelphia, very narrow and not in good repair at the time. When we were looking at some options, we saw that porous paving was something that could work quite well in this location, and that went in 2 years ago. So this street is our first curb-to-curb, end-to-end, entirely porous street that infiltrates directly into the ground. And even during some of the extreme rain events we've had over the last 2 years that are all-time records, there's been very little ponding on the surface of this street. So it works quite well, and it's something we're looking to replicate in some other locations across the city. On private property, the Water Department, as part of Green City Clean Waters, also changed the way that stormwater billing works from an inlet-based charge to a parcel-based charge that assesses stormwater bills for commercial customers based on the size of a lot as well as the impervious cover. So you can go on the stormwater billing website and look at any commercial property to determine what the cost of the stormwater bill is going to be now and in the future. The change in that billing process is being phased in over 5 years to make it a little bit less of an extreme change for some of the building owners that have a very large impervious surface area that they need to deal with. And there are a lot of stormwater credits and incentive programs offered through the water department to offset some of the increase in cost. But it's really seen widely as something that's about paying for what you generate in terms of stormwater, which is really essential.
I'll mention two programs that I've been involved in. One is our waterfront development project, which is funded by our Commerce Department. And as adaptation efforts, we've both been trying to do some stream restoration and more natural waterfront with wetland mitigation sites, as well as some artwork that really emphasizes where the flood levels have been over the years. And so we've had art installations done with flood levels, and that appears on the lower bottom for the Delaware River. There's some similar ones on our Schuylkill River. The next slide really deals with the Water Department Stormwater Management Development Standards. Any major development in Philadelphia goes through a stormwater review that's designed to capture at least the first 1 inch of rainfall. It's somewhat of an open question what impact that's going to have on flood reduction, and that's something we're currently looking at because our standards are designed for reduced stormwater runoff, not specifically for flood mitigation. We have a separate program for flood mitigation.
And then beyond the Green City Clean Waters framework, some of the other things that we're working on the adaptation front already are energy efficiency and demand response. So efficiency both in municipal buildings and across the city, but one thing that's worked quite well over the last number of years is focusing on some retrofits in city buildings as well as a demand response program that has helped us to shave peak load, save some money, but also understand what our capabilities are in terms of how we can respond in heat emergencies. One other thing we did at the citywide level was offer a competition to all city residents. All blocks in the city were invited to participate in the coolest block contest, where the winning block got a free white roof coating for the entire block, along with some energy saving upgrades. And that was a really good way to raise awareness about a technology, a building technology that's available very inexpensively to a lot of building owners. It helps to save energy for the resident and also helps to mitigate the heat island impact that's problematic in a lot of parts of the city. And then finally, air quality and heat health alert programs. Because extreme heat is one of our big concerns on the climate front, we're really focused on this. We have had a lot of extreme weather that we've been able to deal with pretty well through the existing programs, but certainly want to keep focusing on both of these alert programs so that we're making sure we're reaching all of the vulnerable citizens in all parts of the city and making sure that we get them the resources that they need. So we'll end with that, and here is our contact information if you'd like to reach out. Some of the information we talked about is available on the website listed below, and we'll take questions at the end.
Thank you, Alex and Scott, for your presentation. Some great examples of innovative programs that Philadelphia is implementing to work on adaptation issues. And, of course, the wide range of programs involve a range of stakeholders and partners for their implementation. So we'll move into our next poll question, which is looking at partnerships and collaboration, which we'll also be hearing about in Debbie's presentation coming up. So the question is, does your community or entity collaborate with neighbors on climate change? Any neighboring jurisdictions or partners that you may be working with? Okay, hopefully that's enough time for folks to have gotten their answers submitted. If we could pull up our results. It looks like 59% of folks are collaborating with neighbors on climate change, which is good to hear and is a great strategy for leveraging activities and resources. About 27% are not currently collaborating but are interested in doing so. 12% collaborating on other issues, not necessarily climate change, and only 1% not interested in collaboration. So thank you for your responses to those questions.